the Pope on Film. I am Bunny Williams, and with me is...
My name is May Lin, Reverend May Lin, Pope May Lin. I am the founder of the Church of Ed Wood, which is an actual thing. Actual thing worth a Google. Hello, everybody. I'm May Lin, and with me, as always, is Bunford Williamsburg. We are the Will They or Won't They duo known as the Pope on Film podcast. And this is episode 473. And what that means mathematically is that we have recorded 472 episodes before this one. And I know some of you out there may be a doubting Thomas, may not believe that we have actually recorded 472 episodes. But look, here's the thing about that. Are you gonna check?
Are you?
No,
really?
You're not. You are absolutely not gonna find this podcast on SoundCloud, soundcloud.com/the-pope-on-film. A lot of dashes. And check the episode numbers to keep us honest. No, you're not going to. It's such a hassle. So just take our word for it. This is our 473rd episode.
You will believe it in the same way you believe satellites are blocking your prayers to Jesus.
Yes.
Yes.
This October, in fact, fun little fact, this October, this podcast, The Pope on Film, will be celebrating 10 years.
Yes.
A decade. Our 10-year anniversary, a decade of the Pope on Film podcast. I can't believe it. But hey, Bunny.
Yo.
Hey, Bunny. Look at us. Look at us, huh?
Yeah.
Who would have thought? Not me.
10 years and not a single listener. That is an amazing accomplishment.
It's pretty impressive. Pretty impressive. And I thought that, like, having these babies would help, but, like, it's not helping at all. Look
really?
At these. I made those.
The things that you have done for this show.
Yeah. Yeah, like, I didn't want to transition, but, like, I had to.
Yeah. Fucking ratings are ratings.
The show. Yeah. So, flashback. Here's how the Pope on Film podcast started. Just in case you're just tuning in. Here's how this podcast got started almost a decade ago. So I created my own religion in the mid-90s. It was an internet faith based on the life and films of director Edward B. Wood Jr. And for a decade or so, I got some major press about it. I was one of the big internet religions, and a lot of copycats sort of sprung up after the Church of Ed Wood. Shatnerology was a big rival for a while.
Yes.
And then in Phoenix, there was the Church of Body Modification.
Mm-hmm.
A bunch of like 20-something heavily tattooed, heavily pierced douchebags who like to smell their own farts.
Yes.
And they thought that
they swing
were
around
like
by their nipples. Let's not forget about that.
Yeah, and swing around by their nipples. They thought they were such big shit because they were on one episode of Ripley's Believe It or Not. Hosted by A.C. Slater, I believe. But they were
not
a bunch
even
of
the real
ass.
Ones with Jack Palance?
No, not the real one with Jack Palance. No, like the reboot.
Oh.
I like Jack Palance, though. Like, every time he said, believe it or not, it felt threatening. Believe it. Or not. Love
and,
that.
And his hot daughter, Holly Palance, which I'm
Holly
sorry,
Palance.
I don't accept.
Holly Palance?
Yeah, I just...
It's fun to say,
I do not believe that she's... sprung from Jack Palance's loins.
Jack Palance's loins. Mm-hmm. That's something that you're not going to hear in a lot of the other podcasts out
there. No, you're not.
Not a lot of people out there are doing podcasts where they talk about Jack Palance's loins. That's my new band name, Jack Palance's Loins.
Yeah.
We're kind of like country punk.
Yeah.
Industrial, proto gothic country punk. That's sort of our sound.
So your dog ran away and is going to tear down the establishment?
Yeah. But first we're going to smoke clove cigarettes and walk around New Orleans.
Yes.
I am going on tour this year. And I have shows all over so many different cities in Oklahoma. I also have a show in Memphis, Tennessee in August. And then in October, I will be performing at a venue in the French Quarter of New Orleans.
Uh-huh.
And I'm very excited. I'm very excited to hear Bloodletting the Vampire song by Concrete Blonde while I'm in New Orleans. And also, I've been listening to the song Graceland by Charlie Sexton from the movie True Romance. I've been listening to that song nonstop. Well, I've never been to Graceland, never took that trip, because I'd rather think of Elvis as a greasy Memphis kid. I've been listening to it nonstop. And then my plan is, once I finally get to Memphis, I'm retiring the song.
Yeah.
From my heavy rotation. And I'm replacing it with that song Walking in Memphis.
Uh-huh.
And then I'll listen to that nonstop because I'll be in Memphis. Very excited about that.
I have always heard that Graceland is very underwhelming.
I love the fact, and I've mentioned this so many times, and I'm going to mention it again. I love the fact that later in his life, Elvis became obsessed with the movie Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Yeah.
And that he would force people, his friends, to come over to Graceland and watch it on his, like, fucking 30 television. But I love that idea of, like, Elvis being all, oh, just wait till you get to the Knights of St. Neith. They're really funny, you know?
Yeah.
Of, like, Elvis being a geek.
Yeah. I mean, just all the talk about Graceland always makes it sound like this huge, amazing palace, you know, just
yeah,
spewing Elvis everywhere, you know? And yeah. It's basically a big house.
Yeah.
Now,
in the middle of our street.
I appreciate Elvis for having something that's just a big house. You know, when he could have had like a huge mansion like we picture it to be.
Yeah.
You know, or like Los Angeles or something like that he could have had. And he just, you know, like, okay, this is on the big side, but, you know, nice, comfortable, you know. Yeah. I respect that.
You know what? I would love to see a combination of Graceland and the Winchester House.
Oh, that would be badass.
The Winchester Graceland, and Elvis went crazy, like, over the last, like, he was able to get old and to live until he was, like, 90, but he went insane in his later years and started continuously building Graceland up.
Yeah.
With like fake one. Yeah. He just keeps adding to it. So anyway, the Church of Body Modification, they yes. were a bunch of ass face douche waffles. And then there's that Big Lebowski religion, which is still around because people take the Big Lebowski super seriously.
Dude-ism?
I don't even remember what it's called, like Lebowskianism or some shit like that.
I'm pretty sure it's Dude-ism.
Dude-ism, that's it. That's it, Dude-ism. Yeah, but To be clear, the Church of Ed Wood predates dudism.
Yes. Yes. But I have to say I respect them. I mean, the dude is something worthy of building a religion over.
Yes. Yes.
And if you are going to live your life modeled after the dude, you could do worse. You could do worse. Yeah. And people do.
They do. Yeah. They do do. Yeah. And then my brother started a religion.
Did he?
My older brother, not wanting. Oh, that's a good point. I don't have an older brother.
Yeah.
But if I did, he would have created his own religion because he was jealous of me being in like the National Enquirer, Premier Magazine, and shit. Bizarre magazine in the UK. I don't know if they make that anymore because all magazines are going out of business. But dudism is still around, but where's Shatnerology now? Where are the a-hole goths from the Church of Body Modification now? I know that online pop culture-based religion isn't a contest.
Right.
But also, I win.
Yes.
We win, Bunny.
Yes, we do.
We win. We're winners. I'm a driver. I'm a winner. Things are going to change. I can feel it. You and me together.
That's Bunny, right.
We win. And so being the leader of the Church of Ed Wood, Woodism, a lot of people have fought to host a podcast with me. Originally, the podcast, my brother and me, was going to be my brother, a cult leader and me. But I passed on that. Welcome to Trans Night Vale. That was another one they tried to get me. And, you know, so many podcasts wanted me, and I kept saying no. I turned them all down. Then Bunny Bunford approached me and had an idea for a show, a podcast. And originally, I turned Bunny down. But what sold me on the podcast was Bunny said, if I agreed to be on the show, that I'll get to grow my own pair of titties.
Yes.
And look at these babies.
It was in the brochure.
That's all podcasting right there. Bunny, ever the scientist, on the cutting edge of scientific achievements, Bunny has developed new technology that embeds tiny estrogen particles into the very sound particles of this podcast.
Yes.
And so when Bunny promised me honkin' hooters, massive mammaries, when Bunnington said, listen, do this podcast for 10 years and you'll have massive mommy milkers. Those were your words.
Yes. Oh, almost exactly. I'm pretty sure it's in the contract.
Yeah. And I didn't believe Bunny, but hey, look at me now, Dad. He's dead. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, gee, what a pointless opening to the podcast this has been. Why was that the opening? Well, it's because I didn't have time to write a full, massive intro because I am singularly focused right now, Bunny.
Yes.
Zen Cannabis pen in my hand, not a sponsor. I'm singularly focused on one thing, and that's my big one-woman show that will be premiering this coming Saturday, March 9th at Point A Gallery in Oklahoma City on 39th Street, right off of Route 66. I'm very excited. I'm going to be reading some kids' books. I'm going to be giving away some stuff. I will definitely not be reading any passages from my older brother's shitty autobiography that he wrote. Nice. I definitely will not be doing that.
This is the first I've heard of it.
Yes, this is the first that you have heard of my brother of what could possibly be my older brother's shitty autobiography. That is, of course, a lie. I don't have a brother, and I don't believe he's written one.
You got this one. You got this one.
You got
a brother. Don't make me hurt you.
Yeah. So, Bonnie's my brother. But beyond that, like, my brother certainly didn't write a shitty autobiography. Because there are people out there that are just clamoring, like, oh, you know what? I desperately want to read a book about a failed karaoke host.
Yes.
Who beats women. That's the type of story that everyone wants to read nowadays.
Oh, yeah. They are flying off the shelves. Because so many people can relate.
Yeah, so many people can relate. Hey, I was 15 when I lost my virginity to a 30-year-old nurse. I'm so badass. Actually, no, that's probably rape and assault. But you know what? Yeah. Whatever. You do you. But I will definitely not be reading any passages from my older brother's biography, because I don't even have an older brother, and I don't think he wrote an autobiography. And even if he did, I certainly didn't keep it for emergency purposes. So I won't be doing that. But I'm really excited. I'm calling my one-woman show Storytime with May Lynn. On tour, a one former man show. That's the name that I ended up with, but I had a number of other names.
I wonder what they may be.
Well, let me tell you. I've got a list here, Bunny. I've got a list of alternate names for my big one woman show. Are you ready, Bunny?
I am ready.
Okay. This was the first one that I came up with. May Lynn eats a whole ass pizza and cries. I thought that would be a good title. To be fair, I was pretty hungry when I came up with the title. And I may have just wanted pizza.
I would save that because that's for really a different kind of show.
Yeah. May Lynn eats a whole ass pizza and cries. Then another alternate name for my big show. Holy shit, I got titties now.
Yeah.
I thought that was a good
just
name.
Just going back to the last one, yeah. I think that's definitely a title for a different show. And oddly, it's for a show that you're not in.
Nice.
Okay. This is a show that someone will be doing around, 2090, 2100, somewhere in there, you know. Where you have already lived your life and have been wildly famous.
Wildly.
And now somebody is doing the one-woman May Lynn show on Broadway. And there you go. There's the title.
I would like to think that if I ever did become hugely successful, and like 60 years after I die, someone decides to make a play about May Lynn. I hope it's one of those weirdo, shitty fantasy plays where, what? Look, a play that seems to show May Lynn, Malcolm X, and Elvis having dinner together. You know, like one of those, what? May Lynn and Albert Einstein? So here are some other names.
I would like to see it be somebody who is portraying you, but like they would be portraying you like as a tree.
Nice. Okay.
So that the entire play was basically somebody playing you and going through different acting exercises.
I'm down with
like
that.
Like after the
I'm
tree,
down with that.
then you're a frying piece of bacon, you know?
Yeah.
And there you go. That. There's the show. This fucking thing is just writing itself.
Yeah. Yeah. So I started thinking about, because I'm a big movie lover, we've done this podcast for almost a decade now. And so I was thinking of some movie titles that could go for my one woman show. So I've got a couple of them. Transformers, Rise of the Estrogen. It would be TRANS at capitals and then dash formers.
Yes.
Rise of the Estrogen. Then there is this one I'm really proud of. Godzilla minus one minus Godzilla plus Malin. I thought that was a great one. And then, like,
wouldn't
it's
it
successful,
have to be like Godzilla squared times? I forget.
Like a real mathematical equation.
Yeah.
I liked that one. The way that I saw Godzilla minus one minus Godzilla plus Malin was, if it's a successful one-woman play, I can do it again in black and white.
Oh.
An all black and white version of my one-woman show. It really brings, you know, new life to the show. Here's an exciting one. Police Academy 8, Storytime with Malin.
Okay.
This was a concept. What if I get a random movie franchise, reboot it, but have it just be my show? You know? So,
okay.
Police Academy 8, Storytime with Malin without any police in it.
Okay.
I thought that was a pretty good one. Malinception. Malin discusses Malin.
Okay.
How about this? I'm really proud of this one. The new Super Bowl. Like, fuck copyrights. What are you going to do? Sue me?
Yeah.
I have no money. What are you going to take? My Best of Slim Whitman LP?
Yeah.
My Godzilla VHS collection? When I wrote that on my podcast notes, I was thinking of fucking Mark Borchardt from that documentary American Movie. Legal actions. He's looking through all of his bills. Oh, God, legal actions. That's all right. What are you going to take? My Night of the Living Dead book?
Yeah.
This one I got really close to using. May Lynn's Conceited All About Me stage show. Because I feel that in its very essence, a one-woman show is kind of conceited.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's just me. I thought of having a bunch of like special guests and like some drag performers and some singers in between my stuff. But a couple of people told me like, no, this is your show. You got this on your own. Make the focus on you. If people go to this show, it's going to be to see you. And I'm like, okay. So there's that. And this is the final alternate title for my one-woman show that I came up with. The Waterworld Stunt Show Spectacular.
That may be my favorite.
To be fair, I did steal it from the Universal Studios show, The Waterworld Stunt Show Spectacular. The thing that I love is, for the longest time, they had the Miami Vice Stunt Show Spectacular at Universal Studios. So finally, in the 90s, they said, we got to get rid of the Miami Vice Stunt Show Spectacular, and we need something more popular. I know, Waterworld.
Yeah.
That blockbuster smash hit Waterworld that everyone loves.
Yes.
So I feel bad for them, but they just brought back the Waterworld Stunt Show Spectacular. So, you know, good for Universal Studios. Bunny, do you have any ideas for alternate titles for my one-woman show? I do plan on sharing all of these at the show.
Mm.
So if anyone who plans on going to my one-woman show on Saturday, March 9th at 8 p.m. at Point A Gallery in Oklahoma City, here's a little preview of the beginning of the
show. Maybe just something simple and something actually very near and dear to your heart, and just call it, I'm May Lynn. Come and look at my tits.
Okay. I'm May Lynn. Come and look at my tits. Okay, yeah. that's a good one.
It's honest, it's direct, you know, and
yeah,
like they're right in your face.
Yeah. Hey, I changed it a little bit. I'm May Lynn, come and look at my titties.
Okay.
But I'm proud of that. That's a good one. Do you have any other ones?
No.
Putting you on the spot.
I'll workshop it in my head throughout the rest of the show.
Okay, good. And yeah, and if you come up with any, feel free to just belt them out. Just belt them out. Okay. So that's my big one-woman show. I'm very excited about that. I'm singularly focused on that. I've decided
that was March 9th again, right?
Yes, March 9th, 2024. The doors open at around 7:30. The show starts at 8. I'm going to be reading some classic kids books and talk about my transition from abused and molested child to depressed, suicidal man to kick-ass chick.
Yeah.
And I'm really excited about the show. I'm going to be reading some kids' books that have been my most requested kids' books. 10-minute warning! And so I'm very, very excited about that. And I decided to give away stuff. So after I finish every book, to make sure that people pay attention, after I finish a kids' book, I will be giving away things to the audience. It won't be anything big. I'm pretty much going to go to the dollar store and get a bunch of weirdo crap and then just find things around the house. So hey, you won our big giveaway. Here is a My Little Pony sock. We just have one of them.
Linnea,
don't know where the other
Quigley.
One is.
You know Linnea yours, Quigley.
Huh?
You know Linnea Quigley, right?
Yes.
Screen
yes, I know
Queen Lorraine. I can't say her name a third time. Or yeah. She'll appear.
Basically. She's like Candyman.
She did that when she was low on fucking money on her website. She was selling like $10 bags of, I forget what she called it, like Linnea's Surprises or something like that. And that's what it would be. It would be like bottle caps, a matchbook.
That's awesome.
An old napkin, you know, just like a bag full of just basically junk.
Yeah.
That she would sell to people for $10.
I've been thinking about ending the show with a song. So, like, I'm on stage and I end with a song. The song that I want to do is Science Fiction Double Feature.
Yeah.
From the Rocky Horror Picture Show. The problem is that it just seems so fucking conceited to end with a big musical number where I'm on stage and I'm singing this song and everyone claps at me, but also it's a one woman show. I can do whatever the fuck I want.
Yeah.
You know?
But what I was thinking that, and I'm just throwing this out here. If you're on stage reading a children's book, especially a really positive up children's book, but then on a big screen behind you, you've like scenes from The Exorcist or Zombie.
Nice.
You know, like And really, just clips where people are being ripped apart.
I'm down with that. I'm down with that. Let me tell you, my kids are fucking pissed off.
Winnie the Pooh is saying, oh, bother.
I'm down with that. I'm pretty sure I can use AI to... You know what? Now that AI is prevalent in our lives, I think we can finally get those naked photos of Bea Arthur we've always wanted.
Oh, thank God for that.
You know, I'm going to be working on that during the break. I'm kind of excited. But
I know, and people are so afraid of, like, AI taking over. You know, like, can we really do worse than we're doing already?
And also there's the fact that, like, oh no, AI is going to destroy us. Bitch, it can't even make hands.
No.
So it's going to be a while before they take over everything.
Right now, if your choices were Joe Biden, Donald Trump, or AI, I think the choice is obvious.
Yeah. Or maybe when I give away stuff, I'll make it like a trivia thing. So I'll pick someone random from the audience and I'll ask them questions. It'll be three questions, and then the third one is really hard. So, like, question number one, what is my name? Maylin, correct. Question number two, how you doing today?
Question number three,
who was the Secretary of the Interior during Warren G. Harding's presidential administration?
Yes.
You know, like, really fuck with them.
Okay, how about this?
Basically, my one woman show is going to be hell's a poppin'.
I'm not sure how you do this, but you have to get your audience in that let's make a deal.
Hell yeah.
Okay, so then you can say, like, who has a bobby pin, you know, and you can go over to that person, ask them a question, and take their bobby pin, and then you give that bobby pin as a prize to the next person.
Hell, that's a good idea. That is a good idea. I'm really upset that my therapist wrote a joke for one of the books I'm going to read, and it's fucking funny.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit upset about that. I'm going to give her credit during the show, though. But before we move on, before we take a break and move on to discussing this week's film, Please Don't Destroy the Legend of Foggy Mountain, the Pulitzer Prize-winning film. Please Don't Destroy the Legend of Foggy Mountain, which is about to sweep the Oscars.
Yes.
Madam Webb? Not that bad.
Not that bad?
Not that bad. Here's the thing, and I've been thinking about this a lot. Just because a movie isn't good doesn't make it bad. I came up with that when I was real fucking hot.
No, but, not but particularly, but it certainly didn't work in Morbius's case, and I'm a little gun-shy.
Yeah, but the absence of a movie being really good doesn't automatically make it a bad movie. Yeah, Madam Web, it's not good, but it's not that bad, and a lot of people are like, oh, one of the worst movies I've ever seen. Obviously, you don't know bad movies like we know bad movies.
Yeah.
Three words. Neil Breen, motherfucker.
Yes.
So, yeah. So, get the fuck out of here with your Madam Web shit.
Yeah.
I thought it was fine.
Let's sit you down and make you watch COVID Killers. Okay?
Fucking the Omicron Killer. It's a sequel.
I know.
It features the same guy.
No, we are not.
It's having a limited theatrical run. It's not available to download yet. I know, I've found bootlegs of this shitty-ass film.
That movie goes over into the Adam Sandler box.
Okay. I still...
I still have fucking PTSD from the COVID summer.
This COVID exploitation. That was fun. I liked that. I like that. That was a good summer.
I wake up shrieking because I think I've been in an stuck in an elevator with a bunch of fucking strangers.
Understood. That was a difficult summer. I need to start preparing for this.
Worst summer. That was literally probably our worst summer. And we did the summer of the worst movies. And like this still beats it.
It still beat it. Yeah. We looked at the worst films on IMDb, and that wasn't as bad as the summer of COVID exploitation, which was a term I came up with. Verbal copyright 2024, the Pope on Film podcast and the Church of Edward. I've got some ideas for this summer, but I'm not saying any of them out loud.
Wrap it up. We got seconds.
Yeah. There's still a chance that Tim Burton might die and we do a Tim Burton summer. Mm-hmm. That would be awesome. But anyway, that is it for our opening. We are going to take a short break, play some clips and some videos. And when we come back, we're talking about this week's movie, Please Don't Destroy the Legend of Foggy Mountain, and I'll be in a different outfit. So you can keep ogling me because I look crazy. Here I am with these puppies.
Yes.
And how dare people not come to this podcast and stare at me? You bastards. But we will be right back with more of the Pope on Film after these commercial messages.